Hello and welcome to Life Changing Science, the Bible, the podcast. I'm your host, Zeeshan, and my guest today is Hannah Shinzawa. Hannah has been involved with the Bible Club for the past 2 years at Montrose School in Medfield, Massachusetts. Their team has been working on a yeast-based sensor to address salmonella illness in places that need it most. One of the most wonderful things is that Hannah received her offer of admission to MIT on Pi Day while she was at MIT presenting that idea. I'm super excited to talk to Hannah today, so let's dive right into this episode. I'm wondering if you can share the moment or experience that first sparked your interest in science, and what was it about that moment that captivated you?
Sure, yeah. So I've definitely always been a little bit interested. Like as a kid, I would read through like my little book about anatomy or like biology, stuff like that. But then when I really got into it was around sophomore year. I got the chance to take AP Bio. And in the class, we were doing like projects about some like diseases and like how that affects like cell signaling, stuff like that. And in that moment, I was like, wow, like this is so interesting. I wish I could do it, you know, like outside of class and like keep studying this kind of thing. And then I was like, wait, like this is kind of like my thing. Like I really want to do science and keep studying this sort of topics.
Yeah, that makes sense. I want to come back to the cell signaling part is super fun until you get to like second year biochemistry when you might have to memorize like 50 million but it's still cool. I want to quickly just touch expand on, you know, you bought your My Little Book of Anatomy. What else were you interested in reading, like just general science topics, watching Discovery Science and Geo? What were some of the things that you're interested in?
Definitely all of those sort of things. Like we watched Wild Kratts a lot in my house. It was all kind of like, you know, like nature, like a little bit science, like go out and figure it out for yourself. A lot of Magic School Bus. And that was really fun for me because I like looking at the world and seeing how, you know, each little bit works. So I've definitely always been drawn to that sort of thing.
What do you think drew you more towards the biology side of things? I said you mentioned nature, you mentioned, you know, cell signaling and anatomy. Did you feel you had just that natural curiosity for it?
I feel like it definitely is more intuitive for me to learn about because, you know, I can kind of look at like a plant or an animal and be like, oh, I can understand, you know, like photosynthesis or like cell respiration. And I understand how that impacts the animal or the plant just by kind of looking at that. Whereas I feel like, you know, more abstract topics like physics, like it's harder for me to like, you know, kind of visualize, okay, this is how it impacts my everyday life. And I've also been interested in medicine in the past. So that definitely played into it. I love learning about how like you can track something at the cellular level and then that translates to kind of like the larger level. You can see like an actual disease in a person or a disorder somewhere.
So now I want to touch on AP Bio where you mentioned, you know, you were learning about cell signaling pathways and, you know, that's when you start getting into possibly some lab work as well. So you sort of apply some of the theory that you learn. I'm interested to hear more about that and when you first heard about BioBuilder.
For sure, yeah. So I was doing a project on asthma because at the time I thought I had asthma. Not sure about how true that was, but I loved like exploring it because it was, you know, like directly related to my life and like understanding that will help me understand, you know, how I perform in sports, stuff like that. And so I was really drawn to that practical side. And then at the same time, I was at the club fair at my school and I saw the table for BioBuilders and I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect because it was all about, you know, like taking that biology knowledge and then making a practical solution out of it in the real world. So that really, really drew me in. Yeah.
What were your, what are some of your, like, your initial thoughts when you started working on synthetic biology projects? Yeah, especially when you got into the lab.
So at first, we were kind of building the team from the ground up because the club had been established like a few years before, but all of the seniors that had led the club had graduated, so it had kind of just sat there for a little while, like no one was really doing it. And so that was definitely a challenge, like starting it up, because it was me and then I think two of my friends, we were all sophomores. None of us had experience in that before. So it was definitely an experience to start out. We were like reading research papers and just like trying our best to kind of get this off the ground. And then once we get into like junior and senior year, that's when we started working on our Salmonella project and we finally got into the lab this year. So it was definitely a lot of work, a lot of research. Like, first of all, like, how do you run a club? Like, how do you read a scientific paper? And then leading all the way into like, how do you conduct an experiment? How can we kind of test out parts of this in the world?
Yeah. The brainstorming part is, it's not something you do in 2 weeks. It can take some time when you're working on a new project. And I'm curious as well, was some of the first time you stepped into the lab through the Bible to Club, or was it through AP Bio?
Yeah, I think we did a couple of labs in AP Bio, but definitely not that much. I've done more actually in chemistry, so that would be like sophomore and junior year. But to like do like a real like biology lab, I feel like my first like big experience was definitely through BioBuilder this year. Yeah,
coming back to the BioBuilder Club, you mentioned your team chose to address the Salmonella. Was it Typhi? I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
Yes,
I've heard of it. But the Salmonella, your team chose to address the Salmonella contamination through a novel yeast-based sensor.
Mm-hmm.
You've done this a little already, but could you walk us a bit more through the brainstorming process that led to sort of choosing that specific challenge?
Yeah. So we were definitely looking around, seeing like, okay, like what are some problems that are interesting to us? And so a lot of us at the time, like I said, were interested in medicine, in like disease. And so a bunch of different diseases came up, and then we thought about like, oh, like Salmonella infections, because I think at the time there had been some kind of like outbreak, maybe like at like some restaurant or something. But we were like, oh, like it's so easy to treat that with the proper antibiotics. But in places, you know, like in third world countries that don't have access to those, like these diseases can be deadly. They can be fatal. They can be very impactful. And so we were thinking, what if we make a solution geared towards like those places that can help them detect, so you don't even need the antibiotics in the first place.
Yeah. That's such a cool project. The fact that you're able to, you know, use SynBio. I mean, you've gone really from, you know, zero to one here, where mm-hmm. you've done the literature review, you've gone through this theory, you've gone through the process of reading scientific papers, building a team, working together as a team. Like, that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
And what were some of the biggest challenges your team faced, like while developing the yeast sensor?
That's a good question, like, because
technically
one of our biggest challenges was also one of our biggest strengths. So my school is very small. So this club was, for most of the time that I was in it, it was just me and then three of my friends. Like, we were all the same age, like same experience level, which was really good for building like a common ground. Like, we were all coming from the same place, so it was really easy to kind of share those ideas, understand what people were thinking. But at the same time, when everyone is kind of on that same level, it's difficult to, you know, like have someone take leadership, because you don't want to feel like, oh, like I don't want to boss around my friends, you know what I mean? So that got a little bit difficult last year when we were trying to get part of our research published. It was at the same time as, you know, a ton of like exams, other stuff. And so everyone was kind of like, oh, like I don't want to kind of complain about this, because I know like doing these exams is really important to the rest of the group. Like, I understand that you might not have time to be working on this project outside of school as much, but then also you have to balance it with, you know, I have this responsibility to the group. This is a group effort. Like, how can you kind of balance like, hey, like, can you take on a little extra, versus I understand you have a lot on your plate right now?
That's certainly a skill set that you learn and that you develop the more you're in these situations. And I'm sure it'll help you further down the line as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What are some of the techniques that you picked up? You know, there's quite a few different things that go into a project like this. What did you personally really enjoy? Was it maybe some of the antibody engineering side of things? There's so much in this project. Technically, I'm mm-hmm. curious to hear what you really liked and found really challenging.
I definitely had a lot of fun doing the research. At first, it was, you know, tough to go into reading these papers like for the first time, like, what are they trying to say here? But as we got more familiar with the literature, like surrounding it, it definitely started to click more, like make more sense. And then from that, you know, we could have these really good brainstorming sessions, be like, okay, like you read this paper and I read this paper, and this is how we can kind of combine like two parts of, you know, different sides of research to kind of help our project grow and be richer.
Lots of good insights. And I'm sure lots of stressful nights, many stressful nights.
Yeah.
And how did you feel at sort of like the completion of the project, you know, presenting the poster?
Yeah, it was definitely very like proud for us, especially last year, because that was like our first time going to the conference and just being able to answer those questions from, you know, like a real scientist or like peers that are doing the same sort of projects as we are. That was really cool to be like, oh, like I do know like a lot about this topic. I am, you know, like kind of an expert from this project, and I'm able to explain my thinking, like defend my ideas. That was a really cool moment for me.
But now that's awesome that you got to be really like challenged as mm-hmm. as a scientist, I think, which is important. You know, I don't think I was very challenged as a scientist until my second or third year. So having that early on, like super mm-hmm. early on, not such thing as too early, right?
But yeah.
Very, very valuable, I'm sure. You're at the end of your high school career, you're at the end of your BioBuilder journey. And mm-hmm. how do you think, you know, the last year has influenced your decision in terms of, you know, pursuing science and biotechnology and going, choosing which university you go to? What were you thinking about these questions? Like, how were you thinking about these questions at the beginning of the year, and how are you thinking about them now?
Yeah, so definitely my experience with BioBuilder has made me much more inclined to pursue kind of like the biology side of things. So I'm thinking of going into engineering. Not really 100% sure like what I want to focus on yet, but I know there's so much space in there to be like creative with how you're thinking. Just like in BioBuilder, I really liked how we were encouraged to kind of, you know, take on those new ideas. Like if no one has done, for example, like a yeast-based detector for salmonella before, you're totally encouraged to try that on, try a different approach. And that's something I really loved. And I could kind of see myself continuing into like engineering in my classes, like my major. And then also like it gave me a lot more confidence to apply to those like STEM schools, because, you know, so many of them ask like, do you have a portfolio? Do you have research? Stuff like that. And so I was able to point to my BioBuilders project and be like, yes, like I do have experience in this. Like, I know that I would be able to do this at your school. Like, that's something I'm interested in continuing. So that was definitely helpful, like when I was applying and just like when I was thinking, like, what do I even want to kind of be engaged in during college? Yeah.
You've sort of answered this, but I'm still going to ask it. What specific, you know, skills or insights gained from BioBuild do you think will be most valuable in your future studies? Now, you've mentioned quite a few already, but I just want to dig a bit deeper as well.
Definitely, it was great to have experience creating that poster and also like writing up our research, because I know like I will be doing that like in the future. So it was great to kind of see like, this is, you know, what you kind of expect to put on. This is what the kind of information that you want to present, this is kind of how you want to present it. And so getting that practice and that experience was very helpful to me. And then also kind of just like that communication skills, because I was presenting and, you know, not everyone has studied salmonella, not everyone has studied yeast. And so thinking like, how can I present my research in a way that, you know, doesn't water it down too much, but is also accessible for anyone who might be listening. That was really an important moment for me. I feel like that also kind of ties into like my passion for communicating science. And so I feel like that was a really, that was good.
Awesome. And speaking about science communication, your journey into science communication, you're not only a scientist, but also a writer. You're serving as a co-editor-in-chief and science editor of Through the Looking Glass. What inspired you to start writing? How long have you been writing for? And how has it influenced your approach to science?
So I've been writing since my freshman year. And so my English teacher, actually, she is the one who runs the newspaper. So she was, you know, reading my writing during that year. And she was like, oh, like, I think you should join. I think you would really like it. And my dad is also a journalist. So I was like, okay, like, I'll try it out. And so during that year, I definitely did not write about science at all. I kind of just focused on, you know, like more kind of like fun stories, you know, like books that I liked, sports that I did. And then it was really during sophomore year that I started to think like, oh, this newspaper could also be a way for me to communicate more about science, because I was thinking a lot about COVID, kind of like the misinformation that was spreading. And I could see that was because, you know, people didn't understand like how vaccines work, testing works, stuff like that. And so then I started the science section kind of just to explain those, like, as I said, super simply so that everyone could understand it and kind of be more comfortable with those ideas. And then, yeah, I used that to talk a lot about like masking, testing, like vaccines and stuff. And then after the pandemic kind of like was winding down, I transitioned to kind of more general science topics, you know, like just like fun questions, like how do like headphones work? What do engineers do? Just to kind of reach out to people around me, kind of get them engaged in maybe science that they wouldn't have engaged in previously. And so that's been really rewarding for me.
You're headed to MIT, a very exciting next step.
Yes.
What are your academic career and aspirations at MIT and beyond? Now, this is a very, you know, question that your aunt and uncle and cousins, older cousins will ask. So you don't have to have your life planned out. But I'm curious about, you know, what are you thinking of?
I've talked to a bunch of like older students, upperclassmen, and they say like during your freshman year, you know, join all those clubs, like take the classes that kind of just interest you, just kind of feel around, like see what you're drawn to. So I'd definitely be doing a lot of that. I was also thinking like, you know, after college, like I'm not 100% sure. Definitely research seems very interesting to me. Like if I were to continue in school, like I would definitely enjoy that. But then also like working on, you know, more like real world projects. I have a friend who went to school for engineering and she works at NASA now. So like that also sounds great. Something like that. So I'm definitely open to whatever comes my way.
Yeah. And are there, which is the 100% right attitude that you need to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would be, explore as many things and open as many doors as possible, I would say, which you know, you're already doing. Are there any like other specific areas of biotech you're eager to explore? Because biotech is such a interdisciplinary space. You know, you can do mathematical modeling. You can build biotech software. You can go towards genetic engineering. You know, and obviously all the ML AI stuff. There's math, software. You know, genetic engineering, all of that. So,
yeah,
looking to try everything.
I mean, I'll try a little of everything. Something that I've been really interested is like bio-inspired like robotics and stuff like that. So I feel like that could definitely be a way to like carry that like biology background into kind of a more like mechanical engineering focus, which is something I was also, you know, considering thinking about. So yeah, definitely gonna try all of those out. We'll see which one sticks.
You know, you have skills in science and engineering and communication. I'm sure you see yourself, you know, blending these passions, you know, throughout your career.
Yeah, I definitely want to do more kind of like outreach stuff. So, you know, for example, if I am doing research or I am working on a project, I definitely want to be able to bring that to kind of a wider audience than just the scientists that are also in that field. So being able to articulate what I'm doing very clearly, very simply, and be able to like get more people to understand it, I feel like is very important, especially just to get like people to appreciate the power of science, what it can do for you, how it can help our world. I feel like the only way to do that is to be able to explain like, here's my project, here's how it works, here's how it can help our community. And I feel like by being able to do that, we will really be able to kind of take it to the next level, get more people in the public to understand what we're doing, trust what we're doing, appreciate what we're doing. And I feel like that's definitely less concrete, but I feel like I definitely want to do that in the future.
Last question is, what is your advice to students in, you know, high school and people who are just starting to learn about BioBuilder? What will you tell them about BioBuilder? Why should they join?
I would say it's a really great club to join because it's so welcoming to all levels. So, you know, we came in our first year, our project, we had not tested anything. Like, we had done our reading, but we weren't able to go to the lab, anything like that. We were very new. Our like mentors didn't know a ton about the topic, but we were still able to go in, like take advantage of, like talk to our mentor, our resources, like just get comfortable within the field. And I think being able to come in, being like knowing absolutely nothing and still being able to develop those skills and just get more comfortable just learning like biology, I feel like was really good for me. I would say definitely don't be afraid to come in and say like, I don't know anything about this, but I'm really willing to, you know, research this, like try out whatever you suggest. I feel like that's very important, like tenet of BioBuilders, because we are all like high schoolers. So there's only so much you can reasonably expect us to know, but the resources and the mentorship that happens there, I feel like that really equips you to do well, like no matter where you started.
Thanks once again for tuning into this episode. I had a fantastic time learning about Hannah's BioBuilder journey and so excited for her to start the MIT journey. One thing I found really insightful was Hannah's acknowledgement of how important science communication skills are. She mentioned that not everyone has studied salmonella or yeast and how this sort of forced her to think outside the box when presenting her research in a way that doesn't water it down too much, but also makes it accessible to anyone listening, which I absolutely love. I feel this episode will be useful to parents, teachers, and prospective BioBuilder students, as it gives a great insight into how accessible the BioBuilder program is and how it can jumpstart a young scientist's career. If you'd like to learn more about anything Hannah and I discussed today, please refer to the show notes.
Join me for the next BioBuilder podcast. We'll welcome another wonderful guest whose career has been influenced by BioBuilder's life-changing science. See you next time.